hearing, hearing, hearing. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, text number 31. Toija san indriyan yeva. Kriya jnana vibhagasaha. Pranasya hi kriya shaktir. Budher vijnana shaktita. Toijasan indriyanyeva. Kriya jnana vibhagasaha. Pranasya hi kriya shaktir. Budher vijnana shaktita. Toijasan indriyanyeva. Kriya jnana vibhagasaha. Pranasya hi kriya shaktir. Budher vijnana shaktita. Didn't get a big response. Okay. Taijasani. Produced from egoism. In the mode of passion. Indriyani. The senses. Eva. Certainly. Kriya, action, jnana, knowledge, vibhagasaha, according to pranasya, of the vital energy, he, indeed, kriya shaktihi, the senses of action, buddhe, of the intelligence, Vijnana Shaktita, the senses for acquiring knowledge. Egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. The senses of action depend on the vital energy, and the senses for acquiring knowledge depend on intelligence. Purport. It has been explained in the previous verses that mind is the product of ego in goodness, and that the function of the mind is acceptance and rejection according to desire. But here, intelligence is said to be the product of ego in passion. That is the distinction between mind and intelligence. Mind is a product of egoism in goodness, and intelligence is a product of egoism in passion. The desire to accept something and reject something is a very important factor of the mind. Since mind is a product of the mode of goodness, if it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, Aniruddha, then the mind can be changed to Krishna consciousness. It is stated by Narottam Das Takur, that we always have desires. Desire cannot be stopped. But if we transfer our desires to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the perfection of life. As soon as the desire is transferred to lording it over material nature, it becomes contaminated by matter. Desire has to be purified. In the beginning, this purification process has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master. Since the spiritual master knows how the disciple's desires can be transformed into Krishna consciousness. As far as intelligence is concerned, it is clearly stated here that it is a product of egoism in passion. By practice, one comes to the point of the mode of goodness, and by surrendering or fixing the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes a very great personality or Mahatma. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said, Sa Mahatma Sudulabha. Such a great soul is very rare. In this verse, it is clear that both kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses for action, are products of egoism in the mode of passion. And because the sense organs for activity and for acquiring knowledge require energy, the vital energy or life energy is also produced by egoism in the mode of passion. We can actually see, therefore, that those who are very passionate can improve in material acquisition very quickly. It is recommended in the Vedic scriptures that if one wants to encourage a person in acquiring material possessions, one should also encourage him in sex life. We naturally find that those who are addicted to sex life are also materially advanced, because sex life, or passionate life, is the impetus for the material advancement of civilization. For those who want to make spiritual advancement, there is almost no existence of the mode of passion. Only the mode of goodness is prominent. We find that those who engage in Krishna consciousness are materially poor. But one who has eyes can see who is the greater. Although he appears to be materially poor, a person in Krishna consciousness is not actually a poor man. But the person who has no taste for Krishna consciousness and appears to be very happy with material possessions is actually poor. Persons infatuated by material consciousness are very intelligent in discovering things for material comforts, but they have no access to understanding the spirit soul and spiritual life. Therefore, if anyone wants to advance in spiritual life, he has to come back to the platform of purified desire. The purified desire for devotional service. As stated in the Narada Pancharatra, engagement in the service of the Lord, when the senses are purified in Krishna consciousness, is called pure devotion. Iha yasya hare dasye manasa, what was it? Kamana manasa gira nikalas vapyavastasu nitya jiva mukta uchyate. That's that verse. Prabhupada's quoting there. Iha dasya hare dasye kamana manasa gira nikalas vapyavastasu jiva mukta sa uchyate. Oma gyanati mirandasya gananjana salakaya chakshurun militam jena Tasmayai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Blangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Right. Aniruddha means he who cannot be stopped. Right? If Krishna wants something, then you can't stop him from getting it. Right? Can't be stopped. Aniruddha. So, the mind also can't be stopped. Have you tried it? Tried stopping the mind? How successful have you been? Can't do it. It is not possible. So, Prabhupada quotes Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He mentions here that the mind, well, a person, an individual with senses, which includes the mind, right? Mana sastan indriyani. We're struggling in the material world. What is it? Mama evamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha mana sastan indriyani prakriti stan kashati. We're struggling with the mind and the senses. And basically, we're having to deal with our material desires. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how when we come into association with the material energy and we try to enjoy it, that endeavor for enjoyment, for sense gratification, creates impressions, samskaras, within the mind or within the heart, sometimes it's described. And we're either enjoying or we're suffering. Usually enjoyment precedes suffering, or sometimes suffering. It's a cycle. It's cyclical. And so when we have impressions of pleasure or sense gratification, that makes an impression within the heart. When we suffer, which inevitably we will, the material energy is designed to give us the illusion of enjoyment. Right? It's designed to give us an illusion of enjoyment. So we think, oh, now I'm happy. But actually, it'll only be a matter of time before we'll be unhappy again. Right? This is why Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Samay sukutuku samay kritva. One has to be equipoise, sama. Right? Quality of a brahmana, quality of the mode of goodness, sama, to be equipoised in happiness and distress. First, second instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, matraspa shasta kuntaya sitoshna sukha dukkadaha, right? One has to be tatiksha, or tolerant of the happiness and the distress. It's the nature of the material world. Duality. So, suffering makes its impressions on the mind. Happiness makes its impressions on the mind. And when we come into contact with circumstances or situations that are similar to those with which we've experienced in the past, then we'll be reminded The memories will arise. We don't know where they come from, but they arise when we associate. And along with those memories comes desire. Or shall we say those memories manifest themselves in the form of desire. They're deeply absorbed within the depths of our consciousness, and they're impressions that we've received in our past lives. So, you know, when we see something that's enjoyable, then the desire arises to want to enjoy it. Huh? Where does it come from? You know, one day we're young and carefree and happy, and then the next day for the boys, they see a girl and all of a sudden, they're attracted. It wasn't there before. Huh? Not manifest. But then all of a sudden, out it comes. Where does it come from? It comes out of the subtle body of the living entity. The mind. They're stored deeply. And so we're not aware of them when we're very young. And underdeveloped or undeveloped, then these things aren't obvious or apparent. But as we mature and as we grow older, then, and as we grow through the different stages of life and become a mature, or so-called mature in the sense that it's like a fruit, right? That ripens. They may not behave very maturely, but they're mature in the sense they're activated very much. An individual is activated very much by their desires. And then based on the desire, the mind accepts and rejects. Yes, this is good. Ooh, no, that's not nice. And the intelligence facilitates the acquisition or the possession of those favourable circumstances and rejection of the unfavourable. And this is described here in the Bhagavatam. This is all influenced by the mode of passion. Egoism influenced by the mode of passion. And so we must have these desires. Because of our association with the material energy, we'll have these urges. And as we were discussing the other day, Rupa Goswami recommends for us that we first of all have to tolerate tatikshava. But there is a positive antidote for material conditioning in that we can change our desire from the desire for sense gratification for ourselves to sense gratification for Krishna. And so there's restraint a degree of detachment that needs to be exercised, which is actually the measure of the advancement of the devotee. Detachment from material sense gratification, as Prabhupada points out here, sex being the prominent manifestation of passion, the freedom from sex desire is a measure of advancement in spiritual life. And the opposite side to the coin, or the positive aspect of that restraint, is that the senses don't actually need to be restrained, but they can be engaged in Krishna's service. Just, there's the example in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Of what? What's the example in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Of restraining the senses and engaging the senses. Yes, the tortoise. When there's danger, the tortoise pulls his head in. Right? My dad used to say to me, pull your head in. Right? If I was misbehaving, pull your head in, mate. Which means, if you keep misbehaving, I'm going to give you a clip in the ears. Right? So if it's dangerous, pull your head in. But if it's not, tortoise can be very active. So from danger from the spiritual point of view is engaging in activities of sense gratification that reinforce the bodily concept. Whereas the positive engagement, and so therefore there's vacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, jiva vegam, udarapasta vegam. So one has to tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, udarapasta, the belly, the tongue, the belly, and the genitals need to be tolerated. Right? Tolerated. Dhiras tatra namuyati. One has to tolerate the comings and goings. And be able to recognize the positive engagements. And Prabhupada mentions here, one needs to perform devotional service in the beginning, right? In the beginning. This purification process has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master. Since the spiritual master knows how the disciple's desires can be transferred into Krishna consciousness. So, our guru, Srila Prabhupada, and our guru, actually our gurus, Rupa Goswami, tell us, give us the basic prescriptions, 64 items of devotional service. This is how we engage our senses, right? And we take shelter of devotees who can help us engage our senses so that we can serve. Well, we can fulfill the requirements or the needs of the senses. Krishna says, third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will act or we will act according to the modes of material nature that we've acquired. You'll be forced to act. Right? And so therefore, we gauge the natural propensities of the devotees, of ourselves even, and we take those natural propensities, those acquired as a consequence of the association with the modes of material nature, and we put them to work in Krishna's service. Well, not very difficult. Actually, it's not that complicated. Although sometimes the devotees think, oh, only my guru knows me. You know, whichever particular person they want to choose. Usually somebody is not around to tell them what to do, right? The gurus that are nearby, close, and who can tell them, Prabhuji, this is what you should be doing, right? If I want to know what I should be doing, have a guess what I do. I check with the Chicharupa. She can always straighten me out. This is what you should be doing, and you're spacing out now. Huh? There's always somebody close, usually, who can tell us what to do if we're bewildered and don't know what to do. You had a similar experience? Right? Our parents, right? Usually our parents can tell us what to do. They know us. We all live together. We all live together so closely, right, that we know each other. So we can take advantage of that. And this process, Prabhupada says, this process has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada's given us so many standards by which we can be engaged. Go to Mangalarti, chant your rounds, worship the deity. have a kirtan, etc. So many activities that engage the senses. The senses must be engaged. Like children. If you don't engage the children in positive activities, what happens? What happens? If you don't, and you've got a son or a daughter. Daughter, okay. If you don't keep an eye on her, what happens? There's a mess. Like I mentioned the other day, Chincharipa quoting one of her friends on Facebook. Silence is golden, right? But if it's children, if it's, you know, if children are concerned, that means they've already done something. And there's a mess to clean up. So that's why we send the children to school. That's why we submit to the order of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual masters have created the environment whereby we can engage the senses, the mind especially, in the service, because the mind is the sense within, right? The mind absorbs all of the inputs from the other senses. It's considered to be the king of the senses. So the senses acquire information and then they feed it all into the mind. And then in the mind we have the you know, our working consciousness, our random access memory, which is only, it's not very big actually. You know, how many things can you remember at one time? When you think about it, how many things can you remember at one time? If I gave you five numbers, you could remember five numbers. If I gave you six numbers, seven numbers, get up to 10, would you remember all of them? No. It has a, our working memory has a limited storage space. Whereas our deeper, long-term memory has almost unlimited storage space. Very often, well, I've experienced this myself, you sit down and you try to read Prabhupada's books, right? You might read a chapter. And then 5 minutes later you think, what was I reading? You can't remember it. What was it? I can't remember. But it's gone out of working memory into, it's being stored in the deeper, long-term memory. I've experienced it where I've been reading and I've read it all, but I don't have instant recall. But then, and so, you know, sometimes the devotees think, oh, I'm reading and I'm not really getting anything out of it. But then I've experienced where I thought, oh, I didn't really absorb all of that. And then 2 weeks later I'm talking to somebody and then all of a sudden, talking about that topic. And again, it's by association. And then all of a sudden you start repeating all of the things that you read. Right? When you need it, and it's been absorbed in a long-term memory, so it's been, the mind is a function or a facility, the function of which is to sort and sift and categorize and store things, right? And we're not even necessarily conscious of it doing these things, right? Just like when we come in contact with the objects of the sense gratification, then the desires are manifest. Especially when we're older. May not manifest when we're children, because we're not developed, not mature at that point. But then when a person has grown up to 23, 24, 25, then our desires start to manifest. Right? And so when we come in contact with the objects of the senses and we see things, then we think, ooh, yes, I'd like one of those. Huh? Or just like, you know, here's an example, something to think about anyway. It's interesting to watch young boys and young girls and what they're attracted to. I remember seeing a boy, he must have been maybe three years old, and there was a big Harley Davidson motorbike parked outside Gopal's. He's walking along and then he saw the motorbike. He was just absorbed in the motorbike. Whoa, look at the motorbike. Just like yesterday, I gave Madhava a dinky toy, you know, a matchbox car. And I gave it to him as a gift. He was just like, whoa! Huh? And why are boys like that and then girls prefer to play with other things? Huh? This is just a natural phenomenon that's quite common. Of course, and you know, they say, is it nature or is it nurture? Huh? But it's very clear sometimes with boys, especially, you know, they see a motorbike or a truck. You know, like Nandai likes to see the truck come and empty the rubbish and stuff. Just likes to watch it. Oh, look at that, the truck. Picks up the rubbish, throws it in. Huh? So it just brings out a natural response. So when we come in contact with the objects of the senses, then it brings out a natural response. Now, very often, or certainly in our conditioned state, the natural response is to want to enjoy it for oneself. Right? But in the purified state, one sees the same thing, and rather than think of something for one's own sense gratification, one sees it in relationship to Krishna and wants to use it in Krishna's service. That's the difference. The same basic process, but the first is focused on or revolves around the ahankara or the false ego, and that means identifying with the body, and the purified state is where the sense of servitude, which is the basic, you know, we call it devotional service, right? Which means we're doing it ultimately for Krishna. In the beginning, we may have to practice, and we do that under the auspices of the guru, the instructions of the spiritual master, or the spiritual masters, and they're able to engage us in devotional activities that help us purify that tendency towards sense gratification to the purified state of sense gratification where Krishna's senses are being satisfied. And then automatically we'll be also satisfied. So and it's a regulated, it is a very deliberate and determined and regulated process, which automatically elevates us out of the material or out of the lower modes of material nature and places us into the mode of goodness, ideally. If we're still influenced by the mode of passion, it means we need to be continue more with the purification. Huh? It takes time to be purified. And as one becomes purified, one experiences a higher taste. The nature of being in Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina. If you've got a body, you'll have desire. Basically, right? You'll have desires. If you don't have any desires, I mentioned this the other day, what does it mean? If you don't have any desires, what does that mean? Huh? You're dead. You're dead. You'll have desires. They'll either be desires for sense gratification or desires to serve Krishna. You can't get rid of desire. And that's all manifest within the mind, which just keeps on ticking over, ticking over, ticking over. Right? Can't stop it. So, don't fight it. Work with it. Right? What will repression accomplish? Is what Krishna says. You'll be forced to act anyway. So how do we act? We try to act for Krishna's pleasure. We have what we call, what Rupa Goswami calls tat tat karma pravartanat, right? Regulated principles. They're the rules. They're like the, you know, if you want to train to go somewhere, you need to have a track. Right? The track has there's two tracks. For us, Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatra Vidhi. The rules and regulations for both of those activities are the railway tracks upon which we run our devotional service. So we have the guidelines given us by Rupa Goswami. He's our acharya, if you like. Right? Rupa Goswami. Why Rupa Goswami? Anybody know why we follow Rupa Goswami specifically? Yes, he did. But what's unique about Rupa Goswami and his relationship with Lord Chaitanya? What's unique? We say it. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale. We say it. Rupa Goswami. We offer our respects to Rupa Goswami. Why? He got the instructions from Lord Chaitanya, but he understood them. Right? He understood what was required to establish Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale. He was empowered. He received the instructions from Lord Chaitanya, but he understood the mood and the mission of Lord Chaitanya and how to establish it on the earth. Huh? Stapitam Jaina Bhutale. And so that's why Rupa Goswami's books are important to us. Upadeshamrita and the Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu. Because they give us the guidelines how to engage the senses in Krishna's service rather than engage them in our ahankara, mode of passion, desires. Prabhupada says here, by practice, one comes to the point of the mode of goodness. And by surrendering or fixing the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes a very great personality or Mahatma. Right? Because if you rise early and go to Mangalartik, what happens? What happens for the rest of the day? You're what? Yeah. Yes. What happens, practically speaking, when you go to Mangalartik? What happens? Who went to Mangalartik this morning? What happened? What happened afterwards? Huh? Don't know. Yeah, but it's easy to think of Krishna because you remember the deities. It's not very hard. This is not complicated. It's very simple. We see the deity, we remember them for the rest of the day. Huh? Something you remember has a very subtle impression. The kirtan, You'll be walking around in the morning and all of a sudden you'll start singing the tune that you heard at Mongol Arctic, because it's again association. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. What we associate with, we reflect the qualities of. So, you know, if you hang around with the drunks in the park, what do you become? A drunk. Yeah. If you hang around with the devotees, what happens? You become a devotee. You do the things that they do. You start to think like them. Right? There will be, however, stubborn strains of resistance to surrendering to Krishna because of all of the association. Brahmanda bhumite kona bhagyavana jeev. Right? We've been floating around in this universe for such a long period of time, associating with all the wrong people. Well, and so now we've become a bit of a demon. There's it can be bewildering for the devotees because, you know, there's the, I want to be a devotee, but then in my heart there's all these other things. Can't work out whether I'm a devotee or a demon. Well, the process of devotional service, rising early, worshipping the deity, chanting, all of these things. The purification process, huh? Prabhupada says here, has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master. And in that way, our desires change. Gradually we become purified, but we need to stick to that process. And you know, occasionally we'll be suffering more or less from the influence of avijja, ignorance. Some days we're feeling really Krishna conscious and inspired, and some days we can't even get out of bed. Yet one's recommended here, stick to the order of the guru. Because that gradually, over time, purifies. So that the desires then become less focused on sense or self, the false identification with the body, and more identified and are aligned with Krishna and Krishna consciousness and service to Krishna. And gradually the consciousness rises above the avijja and comes to the point of realization, understanding and realization, which is a symptom of brahmanas, right? Jnanam vijnanam astikyam. So Prabhupada wanted us in ISKCON to create a culture or a society of brahmanas. And the whole process, the whole sadhana practice, basically does that. If we allow it. If we allow that process to purify, and if we don't hang on to our material desires. Sometimes we need to ask the question of ourselves, why don't we want to be a pure devotee? Instead of thinking, yeah, I'm a pure devotee, we should be thinking, why don't you want to be a pure... What's your problem? Huh? What's our problem? And it's interesting here, Prabhupada makes a point that when we're making progress, then motive passion, which means desires, material desires, are subdued. And mode of goodness means, in our case, the natural desire, because we can't get rid of desire. Not possible. And Krishna consciousness, I mentioned this the other day, but it's the same principle. It is not an imposition. It is a natural state of being to be Krishna conscious. That's our original state. And so that within that is the tendency, the natural tendency to want to serve Krishna, to think of Krishna, motive goodness means purified, and then naturally out of that will come desires to render devotional service. Prabhupada says here, for those who want to make spiritual advancement, there is also almost no existence of the motive passion. So that means strict sadhaka. Only the mode of goodness is prominent. So, you know, mode of goodness doesn't mean inaction. Right? It means action, but activity is performed primarily with Krishna's benefit, the benefits of the devotees in mind, and not much personal consideration. It's quite advanced. And not much attachment to material things. Detached. And desire for sex controlled, at least, or not even prominent. That's a major measure of spiritual advancement. Right? So, not much, not interested in acquiring material possessions, not interested in sense gratification, but still interested in acquiring for Krishna. Utilizing and engaging the material energy. Actually, it's not material energy, because ultimately everything has a source within Krishna. And so when it's used properly, then it is re-spiritualized. So we can do all manner of things for Krishna's service and still remain purified. But we have to be careful. You know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur warns us that devotional service is purifying, yes, but it can also be the source of anattas, obstacles. So becoming wealthy as a devotee can also lead to material desires manifesting, right? Dealing with a lot of money. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. So I don't want any of these things: wealth, money, followers, influence, because we're still dealing with the material energy, and the material energy has that pulling down potency, right? So we've got to be careful. At the same time, that's why we have the regulated principles. And we're in, Rupa Goswami says, you know, don't over-endeavour. Right? For example, for mundane things that are difficult to achieve, don't work too hard for those things. Even Prabhupada says, too many buildings, too many temples. We get caught up in too much endeavour for prestige or position or fame or money, wealth. We have to be careful about those things and engaging them in Krishna's service. We have to be careful that what we're doing is actually engagement in Krishna's service and not just our own sense gratification. So it's interesting what Prabhupada says here. Although a person appears to be materially poor, a person in Krishna consciousness is not actually a poor man. But the person who has no taste for Krishna consciousness and appears to be very happy with material possessions is actually poor. Because we know, if you have material possessions, what will happen? You've got some material facility now. What will happen? Yeah, you lose everything. You lose it. At some point in time, you're going to lose it. Not ours, actually. So somebody who understands, oh, these things come and go. One day I've got it, the next day I don't, but that's Krishna's arrangement. Just the example that I like to tell is the story of Prabhupada when his Bhagavad Gita manuscript, which he must have spent many years working on or meditating on it, then putting, because Prabhupada was only typing with a, it was stolen. What was Prabhupada's response? Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. And then he went and wrote another Bhagavad Gita. Probably the same book, only better. more thought put into it. And that's, you know, that's the Bhagavad Gita that we have now, more or less. So there's a certain degree of detachment that manifests in Krishna consciousness where even though the devotee may be very wealthy, even have followers, we see that with Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't affected by it. And he was able to use it all in Krishna's service for the benefit of everybody. Because that false ego and that false identification doesn't give rise to material desires. Right? But it's a natural stimulus for pleasing Krishna. That's real, that's deep, deep purification of the consciousness, of the mind. So, those who are passionate are inclined to approving their material acquisitions. Right? But those in the mode of goodness, they're interested in spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada said there is almost no existence of the mode of passion. That's why, you know, in the beginning we're given the here, do this, and stick to a very strict, like a train running on a track. Doesn't, can't, it's got to go, just got to follow the track. Otherwise you won't get to where you, if you, you know, if the track is not steady, stable, the train will not get to its destination. And we may be poor, I guess. Right? How does it feel to be poor, Mahatmaji? Huh? How does it feel to be poor? There you go. Terrible, huh? You don't have the freedom that, well, the illusion of freedom that you had before, right? Now you're constrained. And we will be. Right, we'll be constrained by the laws of nature. We may be given facility and we think, yay, I can enjoy. But, you know, the material energy will squeeze you down. Restrict us. That's why, you know, mode of goodness means happy to be a devotee, happy with what one has and not hankering or lamenting. Huh? What is it? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. It's very peaceful. One on the Brahma Bhuta stage becomes peaceful. Nasochati nakanchati. That doesn't mean he doesn't have desire, but he has desire to serve Krishna. And so, and even sometimes there's lamentation in Krishna consciousness, right? Why can't I be a better devotee? That's okay, that's fine. Right? There's that nice story of Madhavendra Puri and his disciple Ramchandra Puri. Was it Ramchandra? And Ramchandra Puri was a bit of an impersonalist. And he heard Madhavendra Puri on his, you know, in his final hours, days, heard him lamenting. Right? Oh, I couldn't reach Mathura. Right? In the mood of Srimati Radharani's separation from Krishna. Right? And Ramchandra Puri said, oh, don't lament. Right? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kanchati. And what did Madhavendra Puri say? Get this fellow out of here. I don't want to see him. Right? Because he didn't understand that spiritual lamentation is actually what we want. Right? Because it's purified desire. It was a desire to be with Krishna. So we're not in... Na Sochati Na Kanchati means no material hankerings and no material lamentations. But that doesn't mean that a devotee can't have hankering and lamentation. Our hankering is to become a better devotee. Our lamentation is, why am I so attached to being, you know, why do I want to be in the mode of passion all the time? Or passion might be actually, you know, good for us. Why can't I be out of the mode of ignorance? Right? So there's lamentation. Why can't I make more spiritual advancement so that I give up these useless things, which we know theoretically and even jnanam vijnanam, even from personal experience, we understand the futility of material existence, but still we get caught, trapped by the mind and the senses. So, no harm to have spiritual desires and spiritual lamentation. That's what's wanted. Right? And that can be attained by one who follows the regulated principles and the guidelines of the spiritual master. The spiritual masters, the Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, they're our guides. Huh? And the more we become absorbed in material things, the less access we have to Krishna consciousness. But the more we become attracted to Krishna and engaged in devotional service, then the we'll relinquish, give up our affection for material things. And become more stable and steady. So what we have in the beginning, we associate with the devotees, then we become bhajana kriya, we become practicing, right? We practice. And then in the practicing stage, anatta nivritti, we need to remove the unwanted attachments to get to the point of nishta or steady. Right? That's quite advanced because it means we're becoming purified so much that the material desires are not disturbing our devotional practice. Right? And then when we get a taste from that, then more enthusiasm and more determination, it grows naturally because that natural affection for Krishna and that higher taste of devotional service rises up within the heart naturally. And one knows then one learns gradually how to avoid the material and how to be more positively engaged in the spiritual. One spontaneously, one will come to the raga platform, especially if we're able to stick to the regulated principles. That's bhajana kriya. What have we got here? Kriya Shakti, the senses of action. So we engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, What is it? Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam, Bhakti, Uchite, something like that. Yeah. If anyone wants to advance in spiritual life, anybody here wants to advance in spiritual life? That's good. That's positive. Prabhupada says here, he has to come back to the platform of purified desire. The purified desire for devotional service. And Prabhupada says here, by practice, right, one comes to the point of the mode of goodness. Which means basically sadhana bhakti. Right? Rules and regulations, rise early, chant Hare Krishna, two things that Rupa Goswami recommends, or six positive, six negative. Utsahan nischayadaryat tat tat kama pravartanat. Sangatyaga, give up bad association. Satovrite, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Sadbir bhakti pranasyati, supports. These activities support devotional service. So enthusiasm, determination, patience. Then follow the regulated principles. And we have so many regulated principles. Tut, tut. Then give up bad association, because by associating with materialistically minded persons will also become materialistic. And satovrite, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Then, what is it? The things that spoil devotional service. Atyahara prayasas cha prajopo niyamagraha. Jana Sangha, again, bad association. Lolyam, greedy. You know, you enjoy some sense gratification, then what happens? Do you become satisfied? Right? No. Want more. Give me more. Right? Give me more. I think I've heard a few songs about that. Give me more, give me more, give me more.
More fuel for the fire.
What's that?
More fuel for the fire.
More fuel for the fire. The fire just burns. Yeah. There's a famous song by Johnny Cash called The Ring of Fire. Huh? The Ring of Fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. He's talking about alcoholism. That's what the song's about. Right? But it's the same as the message in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Lust, you try to satisfy it, and it just burns more. That's the mode of passion. And of course it takes you down, down, down into the mode of ignorance, more bodily, more absorbed in the bodily consciousness of life. So, purified desire is required. We get to purified desire by following the sadhana practice. We can't stop the mind. Mind will act. But we engage it in the positive practice, the positive engagement of devotional service, devotional practice, and then gradually it becomes purified. So we have to stick to that. Prabhupada says that the process of devotional service is automatic, but you've got to do it. Right? It's not something that you can imagine that you're doing. It's something that you actually have to do. We are not armchair philosophers who think we're doing things. We have to actually do it. And then it'll be effective. And the measure of that effectiveness will be detachment from material things and attachment to serving Krishna. It happens naturally, actually, if we allow it. And be aware of the things that are stopping us. Does anybody have any comments or questions? On any of these points? Any realizations on purifying desire? You wait till they're suffering. It's just a matter of time. Be patient. And then be sensitive. You can actually preach to the materially attached. Prabhupada mentioned, it's very interesting, in the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says that a measure of a person's devotion is their natural detachment from material activities. Right? And so sometimes we have to be careful about, you know, who we associate with, even when we're preaching, right? Because by any measure, they're not actually eligible for devotional service. Right? And this is a double-edged sword, in one sense. Because we want to engage everybody, but at the same time we need to be careful. Right? And Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami points out effectively, but Prabhupada makes a point that, and he says, my disciples come from a wealthy country and from wealthy families, yet they choose to accept the inconveniences of preaching and devotional practice, rising early, chanting Hare Krishna, and living very simply. In those days, the devotees travelling with him in India and so forth, they accepted great austerities to be with Prabhupada, but they preferred to be with Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna than enjoying material facilities. And so Prabhupada said, this is a qualification of somebody who wants to make spiritual advancement. Because they're showing their natural detachment. Right? And you know, a good reason to keep ourselves somewhat poor, right? Not too absorbed in keeping up with the Joneses. Huh? Do you know what I mean by keeping up with the Joneses? It means, you know, wanting to be like your next door neighbour. And around here, all our next door neighbours have got BMWs, you know, this, that and the other thing. Double story house, a lot of money, whatever. Well, certainly in the street that I live in anyway. So, we need to be expert in making friends with people very often, rather than, you know, killing them philosophically with our learning. I don't like that. You may be right. Huh? You may be right. But if a person's very still attached to material life, then you're not going to be able to dissuade him from that philosophically. Maybe if he's very pious. But often it's just making friends with people, encouraging them to chant Hare Krishna, you know, giving them positive. And being very, very tolerant. Patient and tolerant. We have to be patient and tolerant with ourselves, so I guess we should be patient and tolerant with others. Huh? And, yeah. Those who get a taste of Krishna consciousness will never forget it, despite the fact that they may be attached to material things. Right? But we should understand, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Parita Chaitasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, what is it? Samado Na Vadhiyate. If we're too attached to Bhoga, enjoyment, and Aishwarya, opulence, then the resolute determination for the devotional service will not take place. This is what Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, if people are very attached, we know they may not become resolute devotees. And so we might not waste our time with them too much. But we're looking for people who are naturally detached. Not a lot of them around, I'm afraid. So we have to be very patient. Keep. Does that make sense? Yeah. So friendly, patient, tolerant, encouraging. And you know, how do we engage people? We give them prasadam. We're going to have a feast. Ooh, a feast. Yeah, great. But actually, we're not into feasts. Well, we are in a feast, but we're into eating moderately. Right? Actually. This is Prabhupada's genius, you know. Encourage people to come for a feast. They go, oh, a feast. Eat everything you like. Right? Anything and everything. And Prabhupada just made prasadam so tasty, you know. People kept on coming back. Oh, got to go back. I remember when I first went to the temple, I left, and all I was thinking about, how can I get back there and have that tomato chutney? Huh? So, prasadam. That's how we kill the demons. Stuff them full of prasadam. That's our secret. And kirtan. Huh? Kirtan. When you engage, when you become absorbed in kirtan and you actually leave the material world. This is an amazing thing. Kirtan is so powerful that you actually leave the material world and go to Vaikuntha. Right? Now, when you go to Vaikuntha, you can't forget it. Right? If you really get if you become absorbed in the chanting of Hare Krishna, you'll be taken out of the material world, right? That's what happens. That's why we chant and dance, because that's what happens in the spiritual world. People, you dance and sing because you're happy, huh? So when people get the higher taste, either prasadam, harinam, or even our philosophy, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, very potent, very simple, very clear, very potent, right? When people get that taste, when they see the deities, when they just come, as I mentioned before, People, when people come into the front gate and into the courtyard, then they notice, ooh, this is there's something here. Something intangible. Tangible but intangible. You can feel it, but what is it? It's that experience of Vaikuntha. So when we give them those experiences, then that attractiveness of the spiritual realm will eventually defeat the attraction for the material realm. Right? So that's our preaching in a very broad sense. Being very liberal, very giving the positive, the kirtan, prasadam, philosophy, see the deities, just absorb the environment. Huh? It's a simple thing, actually, but not so simple also. But that's how we do it. Anything else? Mahatmaji.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada says, even the mode of goodness is binding, like scientists and philosophers.
Yeah.
They keep on coming again. Life, birth, old age, disease and death.
Yeah. Yes, it's mode of goodness also has its limitations because it's a material mode. But of course, the practice of devotional service, while it appears to be in the mode of goodness, or it is in the mode of goodness, it's the difference is that the mode of goodness, Shuddha Sattva, it's for Krishna, right? It's purifying or purified. Whereas mode of goodness. Material means the pleasure is for oneself, effectively. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, let's go. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Ki Jai.